Good to see all of you this morning. I want you to grab yourself a Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's on page 987 if you're using the Bible we provide here at the church. Just if you're new here or haven't been here for a while, here's what's going on. We're in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's a series called Focus, and we've been here for 7 weeks so far, and this is going to take us till about the end of June. And some of you are thinking, well, it's Palm Sunday. I want to hear a message about Palm Sunday. Well, I'm working that one in because the amazing part about the timing of the way this flowed is not only are we going to talk about the triumphal entry, but we're going to talk about Jesus' re-entry and how he's going to come and bring us home to be with him for eternity. So let's bow in a word of prayer and then get right into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for how beautiful it is, and we can enjoy this springtime weather, Lord, and just thank you for the fact that you broke the cold and have brought some new life and new growth, Lord, so that we can see the beauty of your creation. I pray, Lord, today that as we learn more about who you are and what you've done, that you would help us to fully understand you, to fully accept who you are and what you've done. I pray for those who might not know you as their Savior, that today they would come to know you. I pray for those who do know you as their Savior, that they would be more inspired to live a life that's pleasing to you, and they would be encouraged by the end times events that will happen and how we are going to be brought home to you in regards to that. I pray, Lord, specifically this week as we ramp up to Easter, where many people are thinking about spiritual things, many people that would never really darken the door of church on a normal Sunday would come out on Easter Sunday, and not only to our church, but to all the area churches and gospel preaching churches around the country and the world. So I pray, Lord, that you would just start working on their hearts, our friends and family members that don't know you, start working on their hearts so that they could trust you. I pray, Lord, specifically for the youth ministry, Pastor Steve and the youth leaders and the high school students that are going to be traveling to Baltimore this week on the mission trip. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them safe travels. I pray that you would help them to maintain focused on the work at hand. I pray that you would give the parents of those kids a calm and a peace so that they feel comfortable with the fact that their child is out serving you. I'm just thankful again for the youth ministry and for the fact that we can impact the next generation through children and youth, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move us forward as we strive to serve you better. Thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most people like to celebrate, right? Does everybody here like to celebrate? I mean, we celebrate birthdays, weddings, anniversaries. Just the U.S. calendar alone, when I was kind of studying for this, and you know, I kind of looked up, just the U.S. calendar alone has 20 holidays listed. Some of these holidays are a day off school, which all the kids are like, woohoo. Some of the holidays are a day off work, which all the people said, amen, right? You like that? Some are main fixtures of our society, right? Holidays are main fixtures. If you really start to look into it, man, people will find any reason to celebrate. I mean, you start to look at, you know, some of the holidays that you've never heard of and nobody really ever celebrates, but it seems like there's a holiday for it. Well, today we celebrate what we call Palm Sunday, which is a celebration of Matthew 21, Jesus' triumphal entry. And what happened was Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and the people were all throwing down palm branches, and the city was stirred up, and it was a celebration. And people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means to us, save now. So the people were celebrating because it seemed to be that Jesus was the Messiah. So they were very happy about Jesus coming into the city. They were yelling and screaming, save now. But then, as the week progressed, most of you know, as if you've been around for a while, something strange happens on Friday. Something strange happens, and it's the death of Jesus. So here's, as this week progressed, as this celebration was at hand, now all of a sudden things started to happen. Things like this. People started to look at Jesus and say, well, if he's the Savior, if he's the Messiah, if he is God, how could people kill him? What kind of Savior would be killed by men? Or shouldn't the Savior be a reigning king? Like, it seems to me that this Savior doesn't seem like the one described in some of the scriptures that I've read. Or some people would say, you know what? The religious leaders were saying Jesus blasphemed God by saying he was one with God or he was God. The religious leaders didn't like him. See, people wanted hope. They wanted hope. And it seemed like at this point, during this week, it seemed like Jesus became the least likely candidate to bring hope. See, people were celebrating, and some of you might have even heard this kind of paraphrase of Ecclesiastes 8:15. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we, does anybody know that? Die, okay? The thought or the occurrence of death would end any good party. Do you know that? The thought or the occurrence of death would end any good party. And now all of a sudden, all the hope is stolen. Because as the week progresses, things look worse and worse for Jesus until his ultimate death, which we'll reflect on Good Friday, until his ultimate death. And see, the church in Thessalonica, the people there, weren't much different than you or I. Even though it was 2,000 years ago, they had a ton of questions. They had a ton of questions. They had friends and loved ones that were believers in Christ that have passed away. And they actually wanted to know, you know what? They're dead now. They've died. What happens to them? I'm having a hard time celebrating. I'm having a hard time being happy about these things. What happens? Because here's the thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, the passage that we're going to be in today, actually is a passage about hope, and it gives us a better reason to celebrate. That's what it does. This passage actually gives us a better reason to celebrate. Because Paul needed to address some very important issues with the believers there. He needed to address a few things that would help rekindle their hope. Because they had questions. And those questions focused around death. They focused around death. And what would the afterlife be like? What was going to happen? So Paul had to answer some questions. He had to answer some questions. And some of those questions were, you know what? I've believed since I became a Christian, that Jesus was coming back. What about the people that I know that were Christians that died already? What's going to happen to them when Jesus comes back? Will I ever see them again? So these are some of the things that Paul deals with. So I want to start right off in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 14. Paul says this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." So now Paul is attempting to answer their question. The first thing is, Christians since the ascension believe that Jesus was coming back. Let me just explain that. When Jesus rose from the dead, many, many people saw him. And then he ascended into heaven. And some of you remember Matthew 28. He had a message for us, right? He said, go and make disciples. And he ascended into heaven, which in layman's terms is he floated up into heaven. Okay? Everybody was looking around, right? Everybody was looking around. And then all of a sudden an angel appeared and said, what are you looking for? Well, the reason why they were looking up is because Jesus said, I will come back again. So it's evidently clear through the history of the early church that the believers believed, okay, Jesus is coming back. And if Jesus said something, I believe it's true. So now if you're living in that point of time and you actually witness this happen and Jesus says, I'm coming back, and granted, he didn't say, I'll be right back. He said, I'm coming back. You might think, he's coming back like soon, like tomorrow, today, next week. But now here we are 2,000 years later with this promise from Jesus, and some people get discouraged, don't they? Well, he said he was coming back. How long? When are you coming back? Well, these are some of the questions that these Christians had. But Paul reminds them, he's saying, listen, you're grieving the loss of your loved ones, but there is hope in that grief. See, as a Christian, when you're grieving about someone who has passed from this earth, Paul reminds them here. He says this, verse 13 again, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope." So the first thing is this. He uses sleep for a term for death. Now, when you think of sleep, what do you think the next thing that's going to happen is? You're going to wake up, okay? Hopefully, you'll wake up. So they use sleep, or Paul uses sleep, as terminology for death because it's only temporary, so to speak. Paul is saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. It's like they're asleep. You're going to see them again. So we note here this. Our separation from departed believers, the promise that we have is we have hope that we will be with those departed believers again. So Paul's saying, I don't want you to grieve like those who have no hope of never seeing them again. So note this. Paul does not say Christians shouldn't grieve. Paul does not say Christians shouldn't grieve. By no means does he say we shouldn't grieve. Even we saw our Lord himself, what happened when he found out Lazarus was dead. Jesus wept. Okay? Then he went and rose him from the dead. Why did he cry? He could have just been like, it's no big deal. I'm just going to rise him from the dead right now. I'm not going to, shed any tears over it. I'm not going to cry over spilled milk or something. Jesus didn't do that. He wept because he realized that this was a natural part of grieving. So we shouldn't grieve. It's not that we shouldn't grieve, but we shouldn't grieve like those who have no hope. It's kind of almost like this. If I were to translate this in my own language, it would be Paul saying this. Don't cry or feel pain like you'll never see them again, because you will. Don't cry or feel pain like you'll never see them again, because you will. But interestingly enough, what does grief do to us? The grief of death actually makes us realize how powerless we are. If you've lost a loved one, you know this. If you've lost somebody very close to you, you know that deep pit. And I don't want to rekindle any wounds for you, but you know that feeling. You know that feeling of loss, of just a hole, I have no control over this. I just want to be with that person again. I want to hug them again. I want to talk to them again. You know that feeling. In Crime and Punishment, Dostoevsky, I'll say this once right today, his name, he said this, "The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The deeper the grief, the closer is God." See, when we experience the death of someone, it reminds us that this life must offer something more. That this can't be just it. It just can't be. Even the unbelieving start to think at death. They start to think. See, but Paul gives us hope. Let's look at verse 14. He says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." So now what he says is this. He gives us hope. And he says, since we believe that Jesus Christ, what? Died and rose again. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday. He rose again. Why? To prove that he could conquer death. That death had no business taking him, and he had conquered death. But not only that, he has conquered in our behalf. Because guess what? I'm just going to tell you some news this morning. If you didn't know this yet, everyone in this room is going to die. Do you realize that? Everyone will die. You have an appointed time where you will leave this earth. And the Bible tells us something very specific, something very scary for some. And that's we're all sinners. And our death, our separation from this world also includes separation from God for eternity. But Jesus loved us so much, like Paul talks about. And Jesus came and he died in our place for our sins. And he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. All who believe will have eternal life. But here's, now we're back to the passage, here's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be ignorant, don't grieve like those who have no hope. Since we believe in Jesus, we're going to be in heaven. But all those people that believed in Jesus and died already, they're going to experience the second coming as well. There's going to be some minor differences, and we're going to talk about that. But here's where it gets a little tricky. Because some of you will say, and some people will say this, I'm heartbroken because I know my loved one that has already passed away did not believe what you just told me, did not believe the gospel. So you're heartbroken, and that's a fair statement. I've had people say that to me, like, Pastor Mike, like, I see what you're saying, but my hang-up is that my grandmother, my wife, my father, my brother, they didn't believe that. So what happens to them? Well, I want to offer you some comfort. Comfort number one is you don't know for sure what they believe. And you're going to say, yeah, I do. Well, you don't. You don't know for sure. People have deathbed conversions. People in the scriptures are visited by angels. We've seen this stuff in scriptures. They might have had a conversion that they never told you about. One of the hopes that I have, my grandfather Mrazek, my dad's side of the family, loved my grandfather, died when I was about 19. And when I was growing up, he was just such a loving man, straight from Czechoslovakia, spoke English pretty well. But, you know, I mean, us as kids, we kind of would like tease him, like he couldn't say like certain words and stuff like that. He used to walk me down to around the corner from his house. They had horses. And he would be like, hey, Mikey, you want to come and see the horses? And I would like go and walk with him. For some reason, he had an unlimited supply of bazooka bubble gum coming out of his pockets. We never knew exactly when he ever replenished that supply. Love my grandfather. Miss him. Loved him. I became a Christian when I was about 18. My grandfather died when I was about 19. Not too many conversations in that time. Went to his funeral. The pastor came up to me and said, you know, we kind of looked up some of the church records here at the church. And your grandfather was a deacon in like 1950-something, like when the church was, you know, first started and stuff. I was like, really? Wow, that's amazing. So granted, my grandfather wasn't preaching the gospel to me, but maybe at some point he trusted in Jesus. He had that saving faith. And you know what? I have some comfort in that. And guess what I'm going to find out when I get to glory? So that brings us to comfort number two. When you're in heaven with Jesus and with all those who are in heaven, you're going to see things the way Jesus sees things. You're going to realize justice the way he does. You're going to realize goodness the way he does. And the scriptures tell us this, there's no more grieving. So I have the promise of this and the comfort of this, is whether or not my grandfather or anyone else I know is not present, I will still be comforted by Jesus. So that's a comfort for us. We don't necessarily know, and we'll see things the way God sees things. But here's a challenge for you. You, sitting here today, on this day in 2014, you have friends and family members that don't know about Jesus. I know you do. I know you have friends and family members, coworkers, people around you that don't believe in Jesus. Shouldn't you be telling them about Jesus? What better time to tell them about Jesus than now? Our future is so unsure. If you start to think about it too much, you start to think like, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow could be my last day. It could be somebody in my family's last day. Well, why not take the challenge and say, you know what? This is important stuff. If I believe this is true, won't I practice it? Won't I tell other people? David McGee said this, we should be more concerned with reaching the lost than pampering the Christians. I believe that as Christians, we should meet one another's needs. We should help one another. We should serve together. We should worship together. But we have to have a concern for the outside world. We shouldn't just turn inward. Because Jesus' parting shot from here was, go and tell. Go and tell. But now Paul then kind of answers their other questions. These questions about, okay, you know what? I know Jesus is coming back. How's it going to happen? These are probably some of the questions they had. How's it going to happen? And what about those people? What about those people? I will see them again. How is this going to happen? How do they kind of fit into this whole end times thing, so to speak? And what I want to do is I want to read verses 15 through 17. It says, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I'm going to stop right there. Now, what this explains is something we as Christians know as the rapture. I mean, this is like the big passage of the rapture. What in the world is this? Jesus comes, there's trumpets blowing, like we sang in the song, right? One day a trumpet will sound for his coming. What is this? Hey, this is where, if you're a Christian, you love this. If you're a non-Christian, you're like, woohoo, these people are crazy, okay? Jesus is coming back, there's trumpets, he's going to suck us up like a divine vacuum, you know? That's what non-Christians will say. And you know what? Even when you see this stuff on the news, like if you see, you know, different people talk about this, I've seen newscasters say things like this. And they believe that Jesus is going to suck them up into heaven one day. And the next story is, you know, they just roll their eyes at this. But for those of you who are Christians, this is like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. I pray that this happens in my lifetime. This is what I want, okay? I don't want to die the regular way, okay? I want this to happen because it, you know, it's me and all my Christian brothers and sisters and all my family members that are believers in Christ going up together. This is what I want. This is what we look forward to. But this is what he tells us. This is what he tells us. Here's what's going to happen. Jesus, at some time, and we don't know the day or hour. We don't know the day or hour. Don't let anybody fool you to think that there's something that has to happen before this, okay? We see, I know, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, floods, and we're living all those types of different things, but not one of those things has to happen before this happens. The next event that we as Christians are waiting for is this time. So how does it work? What happens? Well, it's obviously divine and miraculous, but Jesus makes his call. He calls first those who are dead in Christ. And this is where he's giving them comfort because they knew he was coming back. And they were saying, well, what about the people that died that are already believers? Well, here's what he does. Believers right now, as we discussed in our 2 weeks about heaven, when you trust in Jesus and you pass from this earth, you will be in heaven with Jesus. Your soul, so to speak. At this point, the dead in Christ will be issued what we call the glorified body. Jesus' resurrected body was a prototype for the glorified body that we will have. So guess what? In heaven, you will recognize one another. There'll be something about us that we're keeping, okay? All the good things, all the perfect things, right? There's something about us that we're keeping. The dead in Christ will be issued that glorified body. Then the alive in Christ will be called home. It's called the rapture. Well, why is this? Why does God do this? It sounds bizarre. It sounds crazy. Well, if you start to read the book of Revelation, if you ever did that, some people read the book of Revelation, they're like, Pastor Mike, that's the scariest book I ever read in my life. Okay? If you read the book of Revelation, roughly from chapter 6 through about 19, describes the great tribulation. God keeps those who believe in him from the hour of tribulation. So that's the rapture. The Lord takes the dead in Christ first, issues them their glorified body, and takes the alive in Christ. We're changed at that point. If you kind of want to know a little bit more about stuff like this, if you've ever heard of the Left Behind series, now that's like a, you know, like a story based upon biblical theology, Tim LaHaye and all that. That's pretty much in line what I'm teaching you right now. In line. That's the next event we're waiting for. See, because the Lord will call us home one day, here's the comfort that he gives the Christians now. Let's look at the end of verse 17. And so we will always be with the Lord. And so we will always be with the Lord. So Christian, let me just tell you this. You believe in Jesus, guess what? You will always be with the Lord. Where he goes, you go. You will never be forsaken by him. You will be safe with him. The comfort of the believer is to know that we will spend eternity with Jesus. But maybe for some of you, you're thinking, well, I don't want to spend eternity with Jesus. I'm really mad at Jesus. Hey, Jesus took my mom away from me. Jesus let this bad thing happen. Well, let me just tell you something about Jesus. He's loving. He's good. He's concerned about you. He's compassionate. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. You don't want to spend eternity with anyone other than Jesus. He is the one we want to be with. But then in conclusion of this passage, here's what happens. Let's look at verse 18. It says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So now Paul says, okay, here's what's going to happen. Here's kind of part of the end time stuff. And just to give you like a little precursor, the week after Easter, we're going to get into chapter 5. And that actually puts a little more skin on all the end times and how it will shake out for us and what's going to happen. But here's what Paul says. He says, okay, now taking this, knowing this, what do you do with it? Well, he's saying, encourage one another with it. Some Christians, and I know some of these people, they say, well, I don't really worry about that stuff. I don't really think about that stuff because it's no big deal. You know, what happens, happens. Well, Paul is saying, no, here's how it works out in day-to-day life. You having a tough day today? Be encouraged. The days are not going to be so tough. You having financial difficulties? Be encouraged. There's not going to be those types of difficulties in glory. Having problems with your children, they're going to be really good in heaven. Okay? Having problems with your parents, they're going to be good too. Okay? They're going to be good too. Suffering with something, physical ailment, guess what? You're issued a new body, and it's going to be dynamite, okay? You're going to love to be in your new body that doesn't age or wear out or anything like that. Are you grieving a loss? Well, you'll see that person again. You'll see it. There's no reason for me to believe, and I know I taught this during the Heaven series, there's no reason for me to believe from the scriptures that we won't enjoy one another again as believers in Christ in eternity. There's no reason for me not to believe that that will be true. But you know what? Some of you, things are going just fine. Things are going just fine. But really, honestly, you're not fulfilled. Okay, everything's going good. You know, my family, everything's going well financially. I don't know, really, you know. I hear Pastor Mike talk about problems that people have, and I'm just skating through life. Everything's going good. Well, listen up. If that's you, listen. Listen closely. Don't think that this life is it. Don't think that you've arrived at what you were supposed to be at. And maybe some of you who are, things are going well, you're still unsatisfied. You're still not fulfilled. Well, here's some encouraging words. Here's some encouraging words. We can have comfort when we believe in Christ. When you believe in Christ, it gives you purpose. When you believe in Christ, it helps you through each day. Times of trouble and good times. When I became a Christian, many things were going on in my life, some good, some bad. But it was like God reaching out and saying, you know what? You need me, good and bad. You need me no matter what's going on. You need me. See, and you know what? As Christians, we now have a better reason to celebrate. There shouldn't be a day that goes by for you as a Christian that you're not like, Jesus, is it today? Is it today? Are you coming back today? Man, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be that reason to celebrate. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we have a future to look towards. Some who don't trust you think it's peculiar, but those who do are encouraged by it. Some who don't trust you say that we who do don't live in the moment because we're looking towards the future. But we who trust you know that because we have a future, it changes the way we live in the present. Lord, I pray that we as Christians would encourage each other with these words. Lord, I pray that we as Christians, especially this week, where people's spiritual radar is up, knowing that Easter is coming and knowing that there is something going on that's far greater than them, I pray that we as Christians would be a light to this community, would be a light to our family and friends, would be praying for them daily, that they would come out to hear your word, or that we would have opportunities to share your word with them. Lord, I pray for those who don't believe in you yet. Maybe some might be sitting right here this morning. Things seem to be all right, and they don't think they need you. I pray that you would press upon their hearts that they do. Maybe they're suffering right now, and they're realizing that the suffering is too much for them to bear. Just press on their heart that you're the one who can deliver them, and you're the one that can help them in that time. Lord, and I pray for all here that have lost someone, near and dear, whether it was recently or whether it was years and years, and just pain that is hurtful to them to this day. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them to know that there is hope that we can see them again.